Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Yeah, I was just talking the other day about looking at a new Ford. I know Sunbury Motors is going to be where I'm going to go, but time has come, and no doubt it's going to be Sunbury Motors. But they not only have Ford, but Sunbury Motors has Lincoln, Sunbury Motors has Kia, Sunbury Motors has Hyundai, the great product lines, but they also have great pre-owned inventory. And a great sales staff that's going to work with you. I mean, do they want to make the sale? Of course they do. You know, of course they want to make the sale. But you want to work with somebody that when the process is over with, the next time they buy, they want to go to you. That's the way Sunbury Motors operates. You come first. That's why they have so many repeat customers. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. All right, our play-by-play call of the day in overtime. The New York Islanders force Game 7.
Letty wrists it in around the wall on the Tampa end. Far side to near. Lightning reverse it near side to far, but give it away. Bailey couldn't hold his own. Turnover in tight. Quick shot. He scores!
Let me get this straighter. They won, right?
This call has been viral today.
Well, believe me, if it had been Tampa, right? Have you ever heard Dave Mishkin?
Yes, I have. He's very similar.
He is very similar. Hey, you know what? It means something to them. Look, I do games for a living, right? You darn well better believe I want Penn State football to win every single game. You darn well better believe I want Penn State basketball to win every single game. Now, you got to be professional about it. The other team does something right, another player does something right. Yeah, you know what? You praise it, you talk about it, because that's part of the fabric of the game. But in the end, who do you want to win the game? I mean, I'm upfront about it. I don't care. Right? Me telling you that I want them to win is honest. Well, he wants them to win. That's fine. And the call should be viral. That's a fun call. It was a fun call. But what gets me is how loud the crowd was. But then the crowd did something really stupid. They started throwing stuff onto the ice. Now, it was not being, you know, they weren't mad. They were happy. They're like showering them with whatever. It's dangerous. They're on skates.
Yeah, they were throwing beer cans. Yeah.
What are you doing? You're on skates. I mean, I know they went to Brooklyn for a few years, but like, you know, I mean, did you forget? All right. One of the really great guys out there. It's always great to have him with us. Frank Bodanni, York Daily Record. Frank, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. That's tremendous. And if I may ask, how many times have you stolen home in your career?
In my career?
In your career.
See, I've stolen...
Ever.
I've stolen a lot of lines.
All right. We'll
from other people. That's a great line. I think I'll use that.
There you go. Perfect. Well, thanks for having me.
Well, no, it's our pleasure to have you. It's been quite a week, and it's a big news time, and there are no conclusions. But I thought the NCAA could draw great solace from the minority opinion. That's right, there wasn't one. It was 9-0. Now, this is a case, just so, again, to reiterate, like we did with Dennis Dodd, that deals with what they can give you as part of your scholarship, a laptop, an iPad, a printer, a scanner, something like that, to be part of your education. What's the big picture on all of this when it's all said and done, Frank?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's the fight. It's a fight for rights. You know, I mean, for students and what they deserve. And I just think that people's views are pretty much stuck in the ground as to where you come from. You know, I mean, I don't know how much changing you have, how you view the subject, whether students get enough as it is, student athletes or not. And it's a tough fight. I mean, you know, they deserve. I believe they deserve more because, you know, maybe from covering the team, certainly not being an athlete, a student athlete, but you get a better glimpse of what they go through and what they go through, and maybe being on the top of a regular student and how much the universities need them. I mean, maybe COVID showed that more than ever.
Right.
When it comes to, you know, being financially solvent, they need these athletes, so they got to give it back to them, you know.
Well, and then there's the next part of it, too, is going to be on name, image, and likeness. They've had time to come up with something. You have six states. Now, let's be fair. The six states don't have a unified bill. Each state has their own way of name, image, and likeness. This is Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Texas, New Mexico. That go into effect next Friday. You have 54. You have 44 states. You have 44 states that are sitting there going, "Hell, I don't have anything right now." They go into effect next week. How can the NCAA even possibly solve this in a short period of time?
Well, they can't. I mean, and we're looking to the NCAA to solve problems and answer questions. I mean, I honestly, I know it's going on longer than this, but I think it really, for at least maybe your listeners, go back to Penn State's situation in 2011, you know, and you saw the NCAA with the spotlight on them, how they handle things and their power of not handling things.
Right.
And, I mean, it's gone from there, one case after another, and I think to expect them to kind of rule the day and to set the precedents, we can all, I mean, it's not going to, I mean, we're flying in the wind here.
Okay. So let me ask this question. Is the NCAA teetering toward being either on the verge of being obsolete, or where is its relevance today? Because it looks like everybody else has more power and they don't.
Right. It's just, where do you, you know, if you don't, it's like you don't have them in, at least in name, though. They definitely do not have the power that you would think they should. But if you, you know, who takes over? I mean, it's kind of a scary world, too, also, in a sense, if you don't have anyone that's at least in name that's supposed to be running things. Who runs this and who runs that? Probably better that we figure out an answer to that, but
yeah,
you know, what's your answer to that? You know, I mean,
right.
The colleges, the Power Five football teams have more.
Well, I mean, the conferences have more power now than the NCAA does. The NCAA, this is where I see them fitting in. The NCAA fits in because they have the ability to run, I think, 87 different championships. Let them run championships. That's fine. I think a lot of people have been comfortable over the years, for the most part, of letting them also do investigations into rule breaking, you know, when it's legitimate rule breaking. And I think people are like, okay, you do that. We don't really want that. That's about what their role is. I mean, the conferences have all the power now. The conference commissioners do.
Right, and when they do their investigations, though, what kind of power do they have actually punishing anyone?
Yeah, exactly.
Anymore.
Now the 12 team. So let's get to what the conference commissioners are working on, or at least they have been working on, a 12-team playoff. Going from 4 to 12. What did you think when you first heard the proposal?
anything's, to me, the first thing you think of, and maybe I'm not even correct on, I should think this is anything's better than just four. That's just the first thought. Then, though, you have to figure out, well, then how do you make it work, though? And I think that's, seems like overall the proposal is pretty good, but, you know, the details. The thing I think that's, to me, is going to be difficult to make people believe in the end it's fair is hosting games on home fields and how you go about doing that, because that was never been a part of things before. And so you're talking about the time of year, and does everybody get to host a game, and do some of the teams that would have buys don't get to host a game? Because there's financial ramifications to that, right? If Penn
sure.
State, for example, gets to host an extra game compared to not, how much money are we talking here?
Yeah, how do you do the money? It's exactly, how do you do the money part? How do you do it with tickets? How do you do it with parking? Does it all go into a pool for the college football playoff and then get distributed, but they're using
right.
your facility? Is there a rental to use your facility? Because, hey, look, the water has to be kept on. Some heat has to be put into the boxes and things like that. You do have to work that part out. I would say this, though, Frank. Boy, if you're watching at home, there'd be a lot more juice coming through the TV set when it's a home field, because there'll be a lot of emotion in the stadium.
Right, and you know, the thing we always want, we want a better way to have more teams involved, and yet at the same time, college football is what it is because of the atmosphere and the fans.
Yeah.
So how can people, you know, when you start adding games and they start being one week after the next, I mean, how do fans actually go to make that atmosphere what it is? Like, how difficult is it? I mean, I don't know, because you've never been through this at that level of college football.
You've covered a lot of bowl games, though, Frank. I mean, you're a great person to ask this to. You've covered a lot of bowl games in your career. What do you think, A, of bowl games, and B, which then leads into the second part of the question, should the bowl games, especially Fiesta, Peach, Orange, Sugar, Rose, Cotton, should they be involved then at minimum in the quarterfinal process on?
Bowl games are tremendous for a lot of reasons. The players finally get a chance to kind of enjoy something beyond just the game, to getting ready for the game. They get some perks. I mean, for fans, not so much even reporters, but for fans it's great, because it's something you can at least plan a little bit. Maybe that's your vacation. You get to see your team. You get right. to spend time. I mean, it's a destination, whereas it will not be a destination in any of that regard if you're playing one game after another. But I think you have to cut it both ways, right? And that's what they're trying to do, to not eliminate some of that. So you have to try to work the bowls into it. Right. I mean, they're doing that already with what they have, so you have to continue that. I don't think you want to make it obsolete. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, the most important thing is people want more teams involved in the playoffs, and I guess that has to rule the day. However you figure, that has to take precedence. Can you work in some of the sites of these bowls? Sure, but are they really bowls then? I mean, they're sites, I guess, and I guess the people that are creating the Orange Bowl still benefit from having the Orange Bowl, even if people don't hang out there for two full weeks, right? But if they can satisfy them to a degree, and they can expand this thing and get this done before four more years or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and get this thing done in the next year or so, rip up the contracts and get this going, I think that would satisfy the majority.
A lot of people have talked about the relevancy of the regular season in college football, saying it's the most relevant regular season out there. Right now you have 3% of the teams, though, in the end that end up making the college football playoff. How relevant does November become because of an expansion?
Oh, it's great. It makes November even better, right?
Yes,
because
I agree.
Then you have 20 teams that are suddenly possibly in it, where all of a sudden the game doesn't devalue the regular season and makes it in some ways better, especially the end, because you'd have so many more teams that at the end of November would at least think they have a shot at this, so that those games mean everything in the world, you know. I guess you still have to figure out whether what you're exactly going to do if you're going to have conference championship games, right, and all that. But no matter what, to me, it makes November better, the best November coming up. Because how many times would Penn State have been in this? Or, I mean, like, you even look at 2018 when, you know, things didn't go the way at all maybe they wanted. But in a sense, Penn State fans would have had more to root for at the end of even that season.
Well, Penn State would have made it.
I guess they would have. It's hard for me to imagine them doing well in 18,
they would have made it. They would have made it four straight years under this.
Right.
Now, this isn't a spilt milk thing. Anybody out there is listening. I'm just explaining, you know, you have to cite examples to let everybody know what it can potentially mean. Right, that's
sure.
why you cite that. I'm trying to explain to the audience, you know, why you cite that, because Frank and I know it. But they would have made it four straight years. Now, how far they advance, who knows? I mean, nobody knows that, but it's interesting.
But 17 was a good example too, because I think so many high hopes, and then there was such deflation, right? But
right.
with this system, there wouldn't have been that, right? Because even if you lose those two games, you still have everything to play for. Whereas I think people in the back of their minds, they can add up the numbers. I mean, when Penn State lost to Michigan State that year, you know, you're fighting for, can we get to New Year's Six? And that's what you're fighting for. This situation, you're still fighting for everything.
Exactly. And the other part, too, is that, you know, when it comes to the college football playoff, when your biggest upset ever has been Ohio State over Alabama,
right.
That's your biggest upset? I mean, this isn't like the NCAA basketball tournament. I mean, where people hear Florida Gulf Coast and they think it's a community college.
Right. And the thing is like people really want it to be more than those teams. And I think until you expand it, it's going to be hard for even a program like Penn State to be able to convince more kids to come. You know, well, we've talked about the recruiting implications
right.
and such
yeah.
before. All of a sudden, just expanding the playoff, I think, helps make things a little more even, which is really what I think people want. You want a chance at this. You know, I mean, you don't want, I mean, how many more Clemson, Alabama, you know, Ohio States
yeah.
can you deal with? Just different players
right.
in the same uniform
right.
playing for the same thing.
Now, you may end up with that. I mean, but at least the
right.
fans would have felt like there was a process to get there. So.
Oh, and I think guaranteed that if you do this change and you do it long enough, you will end up with more than that.
I agree with that. Yeah,
I think that is a guaranteed implication, if not the first year or two, but down the road, that will definitely happen. And Nick Saban will have to retire at some point.
Yes, he will. Fortunately, you and I are not in that position, so that's good. Frank, an absolute pleasure as always. Have a great one, great weekend.
Oh,
appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thank you. All the best this week, the rest of it. Yeah, enjoy.
That's Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Let's get to two NFL notes. Number one, David DeCastro has been released by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Six-time Pro Bowler. He's been having some ankle issues. This is going to put a lot of pressure on Kendrick Green, the rookie out of Illinois, to not only be a big contributor right away, but I think to start right away. David DeCastro has been released by the Steelers. That's an interesting name to have out there. I think there are going to be some teams that are interested in adding him to give him one last look. But David DeCastro released by the Steelers today. Also, beginning in 2022, the NFL is going to allow you to wear throwback helmets.
Yes.
Now, there's a reason why they haven't been doing it. They've only limited you to one helmet. You know what the reason is, right?
Oh, it was because of safety concerns, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all about safety. In other words, look, let's just stick with the one helmet, and you're wearing one helmet and for safety issues. I think they now feel comfortable that after seeing that helmet in action, they can now give you two of those helmets, one with one logo, one with the other. I mean, the Eagle's going to do really a cool one, which has, like, it looks like wings. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Bring back the Kelly Green. Jeffrey Lurie's been trying to do that for years now.
Well, you have a chance to do it. Got to give the Eagles fans something to look forward to because they ain't going to be the football.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And back here on the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, final half hour. Steve is in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, all new pre-owned inventory. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. So, yeah, if you just joining us here, the Steelers have released David DeCastro. Now, it's still a little bit surprising because of what he's brought to the Steelers organization. He's kind of been that guy that's been, you know,
the Eagles ought to sign him. The Eagles ought to sign him. You guys need leadership. I mean, you guys got a real problem.
It's worth looking at, but I don't know how much it would be.
Look, the bottom line is you're out there playing checkers, everybody else playing chess. That's your team.
Been a tough day for Steeler Nation. I didn't see this till just now, Steve. I don't know if you saw this earlier, but there's no training camp after all on Latrobe because of the NFL COVID protocols.
Yeah, I know.
Oy, that's atrocious.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't get it. You know, I mean, look, this
is
something
that... Where was
that
memo and the whole page that released last week?
But you know what? This is... to be honest with you, we did bring it up last year. Okay? We said that maybe this was going to be the end for going to Latrobe. In other words, sometimes you just need an excuse to do something. And we did bring this up last year, that maybe they were not going to go back and use it as... Yeah, I don't get it. But, I mean, this is actually the NFL saying they can't do it. Why?
Yeah, I don't understand. I really don't.
I mean, because of COVID-19 protocols? Like, come on.
As far as I know, there was literally nothing about that in those updates that the NFL just gave for what regulations for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. But, I mean, with all the restrictions pretty basically lifted by now, I mean, there's going to be the mask mandate is lifted here in Pennsylvania Monday.
Yeah, I mean, the mask mandate's going on Monday. Look, hospitalizations are way down. I think there was a grand total yesterday in the entire country of 1,800 new hospitalizations yesterday in 50 states. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. It's...
Yeah, statewide, we're approaching over under 300 now.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is maybe the NFL's just worried about the unvaccinated players being around other people who aren't vaccinated who are visiting training camp. But if you're that worried about it, at the very most, just restrict those players from like doing autographs or something like that. At least I would be able to live with that as a fan. At least I'd still be able to go. That's the only thing I can think of that might have held it back, but I don't know.
I don't understand it. I don't know. Sports has been a little bit different. I mean, I'm going to be interested because Chris Paul's going to play tonight. I'm very... I'm going to be very interested to hear whether Chris Paul was sick. John Rahm, by the way, was not sick. He was asymptomatic. In other words, like, I tested positive? What? As I've said the entire time, use common sense. I mean, Matt, do you know when you're sick?
Yes. Always.
We always do. I don't care whether it's a sniffle or whatever. You know, if something isn't quite right with you. And you have people like, I tested what? What? It's, you know. I don't know. I mean, I understand the quote, abundance of caution, and so on and so forth, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really... Does this also mean, for example, the Packers can't go to St. Norbert's? Now, that's in Green Bay. I mean, have you ever been? I've been to St. Norbert's. I mean, that's in Green Bay.
More importantly, can Dallas fly to Oxford, California? I mean, really?
Right.
They're the only team that has to take a flight to go to training camp. If they're allowed to do that, and they can't have, and teams can't have fans in their home state, something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'd have to read into what the NFL is doing. Let's see. Training camp dates, sites, the whole thing. Steelers, Cowboys, Hall of Fame game, blah, blah, blah. Cardinals are at home. Atlanta is, I think this is their training facility. In Flowery Branch, Georgia, I think that's their place. The Ravens are in Owings Mills, so that's their home. Bills Orchard Park. Well, Carolina's going to Spartan Gibbs Stadium in Spartanburg, South Carolina, so that's north. Bears are at Hallis Hall. Paul Brown Stadium, Bengals. Browns training facility in Berea. That's a practice facility. The Cowboys are not going out of state. The Cowboys are going to stay at where their office is in Frisco.
Okay. All right.
All right. No, I'm just going through all this. Broncos are going to train at the training center in Englewood. Lions are going to trade. And this is their training facilities in Allen Park, so they're going to go there. The Packers are going to go to Snyder Stadium in De Pere. So they're not going to St. Norbert's. Texans will stay in Houston. The Colts, I think it says Grand Park, Westfield. I think that's where their training facility is. Jags at their practice complex. The Chiefs are actually, they're going to go to St. Joseph, Missouri. They're going to Missouri Western State University. So they're going there. Raiders are going to Henderson, but that's where their office is. The Chargers are in Costa Mesa, but I think that's where their office is. The Rams will be in Irvine, but I think that's where their office is. The Dolphins will be in Miami Gardens. That's their training facility. Vikings are going to stay in Eagan. That's theirs. The Patriots are going to be at Gillette Stadium. The Saints, that's Metairie is where their practice facility is. I've been there before, actually, and seen it. The Giants are going to be at East Rutherford at Quest. The Jets are going to be in Florham Park, but that's where their facility is. The Eagles are going to be at the NovaCare Center. They have the Steelers in Latrobe, but that's not true. They're not going to be there, so that's incorrect. Niners, the Niners practice. I've been to the Niners practice facility, too. It's in Santa Clara, so they're going to be there. The Seattle Seahawks are going to Renton, Washington. The Virginia Mason Athletic Center. I think that might be their training facility, though. Bucks are. I've seen the Bucks training facility too. That's in Tampa. That's right across, literally across the street from the stadium. St. Thomas Sports Park, Nashville. That's actually the Titans' home and the Washington Football Team training center in Richmond, Virginia. That's now. I thought the Washington Football Team training facility is in Virginia, right? But Richmond's.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it is in Richmond, yeah.
Their training center is in Richmond?
That's not right, but it is in Virginia.
Nope. It is in Virginia. It says the Washington Football Team Training Center, and it says Richmond, Virginia. I don't think it's in Richmond, but I just think they have the wrong city. So everybody's staying pretty much close to home. Nobody's venturing anywhere. Remember, they used to have the what they referred to as the Cheese League, and they had four NFL teams there, so they'd scrimmage against each other. So they had that. They used to have a couple down at the Greenbrier. Bill O'Brien took the Texans to Greenbrier down in West Virginia. But they're not going to allow the Steelers to be at St. Vincent. It's interesting. They're going to split between their Pittsburgh training complex and Heinz Field. Steelers submitted a protocol plan for Latrobe, but it was rejected by the league. Okay. I don't know. Interesting. And you're all excited because the Eagles can have an alternate helmet now. It's in 2022, not this year, though.
Right, exactly. No, I think that's been dumb from the get-go. Because they did it in 2010, and I loved it. And they haven't been able to bring it back because of the safety problems. But now they can, and I love it.
Right. I mean, it wasn't dumb that they stopped. I mean, the reason they stopped it was a good reason. They said, hey, look... I mean, that's one of the reasons. Remember how Antonio Brown wanted to wear his old helmet when he was with the Raiders? And the league was like, you can't do that. The helmet is not, it doesn't pass muster today. See, that's what, you know.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in other words, it doesn't bother me that they waited this long because I think it was actually smart.
I just didn't understand why they just couldn't use that same model and just to make it a separate helmet. That I never understood.
Well, that's what they're doing now. I mean, that's what they're doing now. Essentially, everybody's going to get that same model, but you're allowed to have a different color helmet that goes with it. And by the way, the Bengals will be white with the stripes and not a throwback. That's what the rumor is. They're going to do that.
Okay. I don't know how that's going to look.
Their throwback said Bengals on it. I mean, really? It was orange with Bengals on it. I mean, come on. Now, the Falcons, I like the red helmet with the black bird. Like, I always liked that helmet. That was all she could, you know? Now, that coming back would be great. Ever tell you about Penn State was playing Maryland? And Maryland decided the game was at Baltimore where the Ravens play. M&T Bank Stadium. And so in order to replicate the 1961 Maryland football team, that was the first team ever at Maryland to beat Penn State, they decided to wear their throwback jerseys and helmets from that day. So I'm explaining in the pregame show that Maryland is wearing its throwback helmets and uniforms from 1961. I said, and Penn State is also wearing its throwback uniforms. Oh, I said, I stopped. Oh, wait, Jack. I said, those are the Penn State uniforms. Right, so they're wearing the whites on the road. Throwbacks. Ah, no, wait, Jack. Those are their uniforms. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Oakland leads Texas 5-1. The Yankees won today 8-1. Anybody else? No. Everything else is Texas and Virginia have an elimination game in the College World Series. And Phil Mickelson today sunk a 63-foot putt for birdie on at the Travelers. 63-foot putt. Ay, ay, ay. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, great to have you with us. Final moments of the show today. Dick in Milton joins us. Hi, Dick. How you been?
Hey, Steve. I'm going to make this quick. You know, the only team I root for in professional sports is the Orioles, and I posted on my Facebook page last night that I was hoping that Major League Baseball would force them to allow them to forfeit the rest of the games this season and just put the team up that some billionaire could buy that team. There's lots of billionaires out there that would be probably interested because they've become an embarrassment to pro sports and the city of Baltimore. They're just an embarrassment.
Well, it would pad the Yankee win total, which is all the audience employed to Matt.
It's pretty sad on my point that it's reached this point with that team.
You know, it's with the Pirates, the Diamondbacks, and the Orioles. It's you want to talk about three franchises that just aren't even close to competing, and that's really sad. And I don't blame you. I mean, the ownership of the team in Pittsburgh and the ownership of the team in Baltimore, a lot of people are questioning it because the philosophy comes from the top.
But you would think there's enough people out there with lots and lots and lots of money that interest enough in sports that somebody could buy that baseball franchise and actually pump some money into it that they'd be competitive, because that's all it takes. You have to spend money to win at that level anymore.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, if you buy the Orioles, that means you've got that ballpark, you've got that fan base. Man alive, I think it would have a chance to be an absolute gold mine for anybody who bought them.
I mean, there's guys out there that buying the Orioles would just be that would be chump change for people, for some of those
exactly.
Billionaires.
Oh, no, it would be, as a matter of fact.
That's what I'm saying. And they wouldn't even have to run the team. Just buy it and have somebody that knows what the hell they're doing run the damn ball club.
Right.
You know,
I agree with you.
It's just sad. I can't believe it.
You know, you go out, you hire good people.
You shouldn't have to give up on your baseball season. And it's not even a third. Well, it's a third of the way through the season, probably almost half, getting towards halfway. They'll lose 120 ball games this year, maybe more.
Yeah. I mean, their record's worse than the Pirates. And I think the Pirates are awful. I really do. Yeah. I think the Pirates are awful, especially offensive.
Well, that was the only reason I called, because it's just depressing.
Well, we are the depression hotline, so yes, it's...
Yeah, Steve's now the sports psychologist. Mark Zumoff said it himself.
The only thing that I have going for me good is getting their Penn State football. So, and I just paid my wrestling tickets for my wrestling club at Penn State today. So,
hey, you're going to be able to go this year, Dick.
What's that?
You're going to be able to go this year. That's good.
Well, I'm looking forward to wrestling. I'm not looking forward to going to Penn State football. I'll follow them. I'll watch them. I'll listen to them. I'll listen to you on the radio. I'll watch them on TV. But I don't anticipate being up there anymore. I just
Where's
don't.
The
I don't enjoy it.
Yeah. Where's the
That's
NCAA
me.
Wrestling right. Championship this year? Where's the NCAA What's Wrestling that? Championship this year?
Detroit. I think it's at Joe Louis Arena, one of those places. I think it's at Detroit this year.
Little Caesars. It's at Little Caesars, Little Caesars Pizza Arena.
Yeah.
Which is brand new. You'll love it. It's right in downtown Detroit. It's the home of the Wings and the Pistons. Everyone says it's just a beautiful arena.
Well, something to look forward to.
There you go.
Thanks, Dave.
There you go. Thanks, Dick. Hey, Dick. Zumoff. You. The king.
I'm telling you, you got to start your own class now at Penn State besides the broadcasting. Make it happen.
Nah, I think I'll just do games. Doing games is fun. All right. Today's show has been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.